Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Now listening to the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're listening to the voice of an entire nation. You're listening to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, who has come to us this day and granted us the greatest blessing and mercy that can be given to any people at any time and any place in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. 989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we like to thank all of you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram's 1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. That's Hiram1555.com. All right? All praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's get to our subject today. Venom from the serpent's bite. Isn't that something? The whole world has been bitten by this snake. It's something. When you sit down and think about this vicious serpent, this enemy of peace, this enemy of man, this enemy of heaven, and most importantly, the enemy of God, his apostle, and the angels of heaven. Isn't that something? This snake has bitten the very offspring of God. And his poison is so venomous that it has now corrupted 9/10 of the planet Earth, as it was 20, 30 years ago. But it has infected every area on Earth. And she continues to push her borders without thought, always talking about territorial integrity. But that does not matter as long as she is bombing Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and all the other places. That territorial integrity doesn't matter. They don't have to ask Assad's permission to bomb Syria. But they are so concerned with the territorial integrity of Ukraine, but they weren't that concerned when they broke up Sudan. How about how they're balkanizing Libya? What about Iraq that may split up into 3 or 4 states? Huh? The venom from the serpent's bite has spread. And unless God acts, not you, not me, but unless God acts and inject us with that right antivenom, the patient is all but lost. So we must wait on God. God, the perfect doctor with the perfect remedy, has trained a perfect healer with the right medicine. The Bible says that he was the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that son of righteousness. And he has all of the right medicine for all that ails us. Isn't that something? Again, my beloved brothers and sisters, I'm trying to get your attention to something. The venom from the serpent's bite has not only paralyzed the mind of the black man, but it has seeped back into the white world. It is causing an implosion of the corrupt world which they built for themselves. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That serpent is venomous. Let me think of it. I think the messenger spoke. Let's go to Message to the Black Man. I believe it's page 122. Yeah, 122. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this in a chapter. It starts off, and the title of it is called Serpent. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, Revelation 12:9, is a person or persons whose characteristics are like that of a serpent, a snake. Serpents or snakes of the grafted type cannot be trusted, for they will strike you when you are not expecting a strike. Huh? This is what we're looking at today. That serpent, the devil, Satan, has struck the black nation in the head, in the chest, and in the neck. He has taken our voice for freedom. He has taken our mind towards moving for self, and he's taken our hearts and rendered us the cowardly lion. But all we have to do is go to the wizard, that messenger of God, and he has a heart for us. He has a brain for us, and he has a voice for us. The voice and brain and heart comes directly from the Lord of the worlds. This is the healing that we need. He is here to pour balm upon all of our sores, because this world is at its limits, is at its end. And not only is it affecting the black man in America, but it is affecting every civilization on earth. You know, this devil talks about territorial integrity, right? Respecting the sovereignty of other nations. Listen to this 1 minute clip right here.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jake Tapper. We're going to begin today with some breaking news in our world lead. A chartered plane carrying American military contractors has been forced to land in Tehran, Iran. Let's get right to our global affairs correspondent, Elise Labbitt, at the State Department. Elise, what can you tell us?
Well, Jake, this, as you said, was a contracted plane. It had American military contractors, but also from other coalition countries. I understand there were some Canadians aboard, and they were flying to Dubai. The Iranians contacted the pilots to say this is an out-of-date flight plan, and it ordered it to return back to Afghanistan. But the pilots said they didn't have enough fuel. The Iranians said, well, then land or you'll be intercepted. And we understand it was escorted down by Iranian fighter jets. Officials tell us that they're trying to get clearance to leave, but we understand that flight is still on the ground in Bandar Abbas, Iran. Jake?
All right. Elise Labbitt, thank you so much. We're going to stay on top of that story, and as new developments come, we will share them with you as soon as we get them. Turning now to our other world news lead.
Now listen, this is the nation that talks about territorial integrity, right? She was trying to smuggle mercenaries over Iranian airspace, right? That doesn't sound like a respect for territorial integrity and international law, does it? Huh? The venom of the serpent's bite has gone universal, and therefore we must have a universal war, a universal cure for this. You see, you say, well, how is it universal? They have satellites monitoring the sun. They have something that they call the Farad. Do you know that? I know if you listen to this show, you know that. They have something, a satellite, they say a satellite, but it's more than a satellite, brothers and sisters, called the Farad, the Dawn. The morning that has reached interstellar space, they say, right? Past our solar system. It has not broken through that black wall, but it is in interstellar space. And I don't think it's going to break that black wall of space. But think about this. There was a time that we could exile this devil to Europe or the Pelon or Patmos or whatever you want to call it, right? There was a time when even he used the earth as an exile place. When they got mad, he put them in Australia, New Zealand, and America as an exile colony, a penal colony. This is what these nations were. The descendants of these, you see these leaders who are descendants of that, they are from criminals. Did you know that? George Washington was a wanted man. He and his gang of thieves. Who started the nation of America. There was a time, as I said, that they could put them there. But the earth no longer confines this beast. He has satellites everywhere. He has rovers on the moon, rovers in Mars, rovers on Jupiter, all of these things. So therefore, he has gone universal, so a universal war must come, because the venom of the serpent's bite has seeped into the entire universe. Right? You never knew these things prior to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You never understood why there was a call for a universal war if the devil was on the earth. He has armed space with his weapons. So therefore, God must call in the powers of heaven and earth to remove. He could do it in a second, but he wants to show you that he has power to bring him down by degrees from which you cannot perceive. The venom from the serpent's bite is killing us. And we must go to the doctor with the right prescription, who has healing in his wings. It's a beautiful day today. Did you know that this devil, he is so wicked, he is so evil, that he is willing to sacrifice millions of his own kind to hurt you. Isn't that something? You think about how evil you have to be to cut off your nose, your lips, and your hands to spite your face. Isn't that something? He hates you, yet every day he's paying thousands of dollars to get tanned, to get lip injections, to get butt injections, right? To kink his hair, right? They claim, but the messenger said they wish they were you. That's why they hate you so much, because they are not you, and they want to be you. We have a beautiful day. We have a beautiful God. We have a beautiful time to be very thankful that a God would deem us worth to come and for 3.5 years in the midst of hell and teach one, train one, and empower one to go after the dead with the right methods, with the right prescription, and the right medicine to raise you back to life. As the book teaches us, that others wanted to, they saw your condition, and most of them walked on by, and a few tried, but every time they tried, the flesh would slip off from the bones, right? So the master had to come and show how to get a hold of a dead man, right? And Elijah Muhammad was raised up, the firstborn from the dead, and now God has empowered him to raise an entire dead nation. Isn't that something? The right way, the right method, the right prescription, the right teachings from the right way God, from the right messenger. Isn't that beautiful? For you, who will be made right, a people who had been wrong for the last 400 years. You are the foundation of a new world. God is going to kill the serpent's venom with this anti-venom. And it's going to be something. You don't want the anti-venom, though. Let me tell you. You don't want the right prescription. So this anti-venom going to have to come through you losing your jobs. You're going to have to be hurt, be sick, be beaten by this devil. God's going to unleash this devil on you. The man of sin is going to be revealed to you. And in a twinkling of an eye, when God let this man loose on you 100%, you're going to wake up. The dead will wake up and say, you know what? This white man is wicked to the core. Let me go over here and try what Elijah Muhammad says. Like he says, I know what you're saying. Some of you can believe in foolishness or Buddhism. It doesn't matter to me. You believe in that because my God has not struck out after you 100%. But when my God strikes out after you 100%, you're going to run to Elijah and say, I know you're right. So now we see God striking out after you. Look at the droughts. Look at the storms. Look at the floods. Look at the police unleashed, unhinged on the black community with warfare and urban, and they're fighting urban warfare, starting to get a taste of it. Look, if you don't believe it, listen to this.
My name is Thomas J. Barrett. I stole a $2 can of beer. I ended up spending 3 months in jail, 12 months probation. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. And if I had money, that wouldn't be a problem.
Private probation companies across the U.S. supervise people who are on probation for minor offenses, collect all of their outstanding debts and fines and court costs, and they won't charge the courts a penny. Instead, probationers pay them fees in exchange for their services. Tom Barrett is a good example of someone who found himself literally drowning in probation fees. He had been sentenced to wear a leg monitor, and that cost him $360 a month.
And this monitor would monitor whether I drank or not. And until I could arrange to get that leg monitor, they locked me up.
The U.S. Supreme Court has said that a person on probation can't be put in jail simply because they don't have the money to pay a fine.
Private probation companies make a tremendous amount of money. Their goals are to try to keep people in the system as long as possible. That is so they can collect more probation fees, because that's an economic engine running their businesses.
Yeah, your probation should have run out.
Yeah, yes, sir. And when they told me what I was being arrested for, they said something about probation violation.
Well, I hope we can get it worked out.
Yes, sir.
There is no way I could pay $2,000. I mean, even with the little change that I'm getting now, I can give them that, and it still isn't won't even put a dent in it, because it's going to keep growing. And see, that's how they get you.
It often comes down to a person's probation officer to determine whether they can afford to pay money that they owe. But an employee of a private probation company has a financial stake in every single one of these cases. Many of these probation companies are not really acting like probation officers at all, but debt collectors.
They prey on the people that's not financially stable. Right now, I'm getting SSI, disability income, and food stamps. Every penny that I get, it goes into me living. By the end of the month, I'm broke.
What they would tell me is, well, in order for you not to go back into jail, you're going to have to at least pay this much. When you get in arrears a certain amount, you automatically go to jail. And so what I started doing was selling plasma, but I was putting every penny I could into the leg monitor because I didn't want to be locked up. And I ended up having to walk everywhere because I couldn't afford bus fare. I went hungry because I couldn't afford food. It was $12 a day, and there was no way I could make $12 a day, so I was always falling behind. So I ended up getting locked up 3 times over stealing this can of beer.
If a probation company is getting someone locked up because they owe them money, then that costs the taxpayer money to keep that person in jail every day. And that really undercuts the whole rationale for contracting with these companies, which is that it's supposed to be cost-free to everyone except the probationer.
A private company is shifting costs back to the government, and all taxpayers should be opposed to it. Human interest sort of view, we don't lock people up in this country because they're poor.
Some counties and municipalities have actually turned away from private companies partly because of all these problems and have gone back to running probation services themselves.
As a government operation, I don't have that feeling that I need to keep someone on just to keep them paying a supervision fee. It is not uncommon to find folks that absolutely cannot pay. Then we have to decide, okay, what needs to be paid, what can we get rid of?
If states are going to allow local courts to use private probation companies, then they have to realize that there's an urgent need for very strong government oversight over what these companies are doing and how they're treating people, and complete financial transparency about how much money they are collecting from people.
This is the debt trap. All of this was foreseen and prophesied, well, not prophesied, but foreseen by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you would go, let me grab my book. Page 151, 152, listen to what the last messenger of God says concerning this situation. See, the devil is being let loose on you because you wouldn't willingly come to God. You wouldn't willingly come to the messenger. You wouldn't willingly give ear to a caller calling to the right way out in this wilderness of hell that has been built by this devil to keep you oppressed and suppressed. Listen what the God's last messenger has to say about this. He says, America, America, your day has come for the evil done to your slave, your black slave. America, you cannot repay that evil with another evil of trying to tempt the black slave by offering them your white women. That does not help you in this day, but it does condemn you as a double crosser, that you will even offer your black one slaves, your girls and women, to do with them as they please if they would just follow you. The judgment of America, Babylon could have been healed, but she was not healed. America is just beginning to experience sorrow, mourning, grief, and distrust from the anger of God and man. According to both the Holy Quran and the Bible, there will be plenty more of the same. In these two books, one can easily find everything foretold that is happening today. The time will grow so troublesome that according to the Holy Quran, children will become gray-headed, and according to the Bible, great heart failure will become a disease upon the people who have the anger of God, the American people. Listen to this. I'm bringing a point home. All I wanted was the next couple of sentences, next few paragraphs, but I wanted to bring this into the context of what he was saying. I always do that because I want you to get what the messenger's saying in its entirety, in its context, and not from my view. Okay? Listen to what he says right here. Now we're getting to the heart of it. The fourth beast in the revelations of John in the Bible, and of which Daniel describes as a very dreadful and well-armed beast, whose workings are that of death upon the weak, refers to America. She has no respect for the poor and the unfortunate. Didn't that guy just say that? Let's go further. He says, Daniel's description of the ribs between the teeth of the beast is in reference to this ill treatment, subjection, and ruthless behavior by the devil to our people. This America lays the poor with heavy sentences, long prison terms, and refuses to let the prisoners go free. This is due to her heartlessness and lack of compassion for the black man in America. This beast, the white man, lies in wait around the black man's home and prowls the street. Can we say Mike Brown? At night, and wait for an excuse to wreak his ruthlessness on his poor prey, the black man. If the black man raises a hand to protect and defend himself, he is shot dead and is unable to defend himself against false charges. Now, listen, then they start bringing up all types of mess to try to justify the killing of Mike Brown. Let's go a little further. Muhammad goes a little further with this. He says, this beast keeps our people in sorrow and unhappiness by depriving them of equal opportunities. The black man's wages are calculated by white wicked accountants, preventing the so-called Negro from saving by skyrocketing, in the view of the poor, the prices of the necessities of life. What that guy said, I didn't have any money. I stole a $2 can of beer. Went to jail 3 times for a $2 can of beer. But the woman who was a rich woman who stole a $1,600 pair of jeans, what she had? Nothing. Let's go a little further. The messenger goes on and says this. He says, this white beast prosecutes, imprisons, and kills those who preach freedom and justice for the poor so-called Negroes. Huh? The white man does not want the so-called Negroes to leave America, but she will not divide the spoils of America, the country which she has taken by the force of arms and killing its aboriginal owners, the Indians, with them. Now, you heard on there, this is the trick. They are making money off of them. All of them are in on it. The judge, the prosecutors, the so-called public defenders, right? The probation officers. All of them are in cahoots with corporations to fill the prisons, to fill the jails up, to kill you if necessary to help the morticians. Right? Allah is showing you the viciousness, the vileness, the animosity and the hatred that this beast has towards you, especially you. Have you ever noticed that this white man in America treats your African brothers better than you? Have you ever noticed that everybody can come to the United States and get a grant, a loan, or help in businesses except you, the descendants of those who built this country for free? Have you ever noticed that they will go out of their way to offer aid to other countries while millions of you are starving, homeless, and hurting without any economic help? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever thought about the fact that even though Jesse and Al are their boys, they are descendants from ex-slaves, even though they run them, even though they pay them, they didn't trust them enough to put them in the White House because they know they still have the same experience as you through genetics, through the slaves, through the slave trade, through the abuse of the slaves. So they would not risk putting you or putting Jesse or putting Sharpton in office. So they went and got somebody who was totally disconnected from your experience and put him in office. You say, Colin Powell was a black. Yeah, but he was a Caribbean black man. You say, the attorney general. Yeah, well, he was a Caribbean black man. Well, what about Susan Rice? She was a Caribbean black woman. What about Condoleezza Rice? She was not an ex-slave. She was a Caribbean. They do not put you in high offices, brothers and sisters, because they cannot. They know how genetics work, and they know that. It is just like in the zoo. You can train a lion to be docile, to be everything outside of what nature intended it to be. But all it needs is something as a reminder, and that lion will lash out at the people and go for broke because it knows innately, even though it does not know mentally, but innately in its genetic code, when it sees that thing, it acts towards it because it's in the genetics to go and kill, to go and hunt, right? And they'll say, well, I wonder why the lion did that. It's a flipping lion. And you are that lion that has been caged and must be let loose. So they didn't trust you. They went and got them someone who had no slave connections with you. And yet you are still talking about Obama. As I said on two shows ago, while everybody was fussing about Mike Brown, which they should have been and still should be, and all of them other brothers that are being killed, persecuted, beaten, and in prison and wrongfully accused, you should be raised in hell. Hell, you should knock the base off America, right? But while you were doing that, Obama cut almost $9 billion in food stamps, right? They say they can't help you. Now, your family built this country, and it's more white people on food stamps than you, but they will cut off their nose and lips in spite of their face because they're helping you. Right? Mind you, they can't find money for that, right? But at the same time, they said military operations without boots on the ground are going to cost, I think, $48 million a day. And they've just put roughly 1,000 troops in there, right? So they said if troops were on the ground, it would be well over $1 billion a day. Now, how long have they been over there? They got money for that, but they don't have money for you. They have to cut and slash what you need. See, this is what God is doing. He's letting the devil loose on you. He is letting the devil remove all of the crutches that you needed, all of the crutches that kept you, and all of the glue that kept you clung onto that devil or clinging to that devil in his society. He's letting it be removed. And once you started feeling it in your life with your family, and when hunger touches your children, and outdoors touching your children, and lack and depravity touches you and your family, and you start looking around, this is what had to happen to the prodigal son, remember? You are that prodigal son. You are the prodigal daughters. And what happened? So long as he was in that stranger's house, and that stranger was able to fascinate him with materialistic stuff, he could not see his father's house. So the book says, it tells us that God went to work on the land. And there was a great famine in the land, right? Aren't we seeing the makings of that right now? Prices are exorbitant. Wages are stagnant. Jobs are few and far in between. Right? God has gone to work on the land. They said that the Midwest, from California in the Midwest states, could be facing, first they said a 2 or 3 year, then they said a 5 year, then they said a 10 year, then they said a 35 year. And just a few days ago, they said an unprecedented 100 year drought. Are you getting it? A famine arose upon the land, and the prodigal son became and won. And he started to look over the cattle getting fat in the land of his oppressors while he had slop to eat. Right? That gave him a second thought and a second look at his father's house. And even though he was disobedient to his father, he wanted to return home because all that he thought he had and all that the master once offered him was no longer sufficient. This is your history, black man and black woman. God removes the bite of the serpent with antivenom. So the serpent has bitten you mentally and spiritually and economically. So God goes to work and use the same thing. What do they do? When you get bitten by a snake, what do? They go and use the same venom, right? And turn it around to fight the venom that's in you, right? So God is using the same circumstances, the same events, and he's turning it around, which was meant for your detriment, your harm, and he's making it to make you into men and women and raise you up out of the land of oppression and give you life and life more abundantly. This is the result of God injecting you with any venom to kill off the venom from the serpent's bite. This is your day. This is your day, black man, black woman. This is your day, and yet you still act as though you don't know. The whole world is falling down, and you don't know it. I want to play some stuff to let you know exactly what's going on, black man and black woman, while they're after you, trying to hurt you and harm you, while they're doing all of these things. God, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, is bringing America lower than a bow-legged centipede. I mean, he is working. And for those of you who have spiritual eyes, it's a beautiful thing to see. But all of us who have eyes, we don't see. Right? Just like all of us who have mouths cannot speak towards truth. And all of us who have legs cannot walk towards truth. Because you have been infected from the venom of the serpent's bite. So now God is removing it. Now I want you to pay close attention to some of these clips. All right?
What's up, guys? This is a major financial news. We all knew that the Fed can't keep these low rates forever, but with how pitiful our economy has, and there's been no improvement under Bush or Obama whatsoever, and it just gets worse and worse, and they was going to keep going to war and keep going to war and all this other crap. But this is major news. The Wall Street is reporting that there's going to be a rate hike beginning somewhere in the middle or before the middle of next year. And what does this mean? It means that these low interest rates, like buying a house for getting it for like 4% or 4.5%, depending on your credit or whatever, and getting these low car loans going as low as 2%, up to 5% or whatever, it means that they're going to start charging extra to the banks to loan them money, and in turn, that's going to raise our interest rates. So the writing is on the wall. And writing is on the wall. If they're doing this, then can you imagine what the price of everything else is going to be? And here's the thing, if you've never been in business or whatever, a lot of businesses don't pay their employees and other stuff through their own funds. They do it through loans from a bank. They'll get loans from a bank so they can keep payroll going and buy their products and stuff like that. And what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen when their interest rates go up? Yep, what they sell is going to go up. So here you go. Here's a major sign right here that when we get our first rate hike, then you're going to see hikes and everything else, and it's already ridiculous. I mean, just look at how much it costs to go to the freaking store. I mean, I was amazed. My wife had a respiratory infection. I went and got some Lysol and some orange juice, Tropicana, and I went to the cash register. Two things, freaking over $11. I mean, over $11. It was like $11.50. But here you go. This ain't a sign. I don't know what to tell you, but this is pretty major.
And he says the handwriting on the wall, right? Let's go to chapter 47 of the Fall of America. Because he's saying the signs of that. This is what these devils are saying now. They are bearing witness to what Elijah Muhammad taught and told us. But you didn't have patience for Muhammad's words to bear fruit. Listen to what Muhammad says right here. America is under a destruction similar to that of ancient Babylon. In the Bible, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Revelation of John prophesied concerning her, Babylon. Their mention is a future Babylon and not a Babylon of the past. America has enslaved all of the so-called Negroes, and her evil mistreatment of them is similar to ancient Babylon's enslavement and mistreatment of the Jews, according to the scriptures. It took the hand of God. See, this is not the Fed doing this. The Fed is confused. It's not the ECB doing this. The European Central Banks are confused. The entire world of the man and mankind has been confused, except those who are firmly rooted in the messenger of God. God has taken over their mind and causing them to do the things which he desires, because these are his days. And everybody is under his power and his authority. So Muhammad says it took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. We're going to stop right there for a minute. The next couple sentences is what I want to bring home, but it's something in what I just read. It didn't take the power of China, did it? It didn't take Russia. It didn't take the nations of the world. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission. This is what's going on today. The reason you see America involved in everybody's business is because God wants them involved in it. The reason you see us stretched militarily is because God is directing these affairs. The reason you're seeing them doing stupid and making stupid policy after stupid policy, and you say, well, why are they doing that? Because they are confused and they don't know that they're confused. God has taken the madness out of us and put it in them. And now they're thinking that they're walking aright, where we are looking at them stumbling all along in the darkness. Right? So Muhammad goes further and he says this. Our leader and teacher and guide says this. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. He brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime, the height of her glory, the handwriting on the wall. Didn't you just hear that man say that? Huh? I ain't making this up. Didn't you just hear the guy talk about that? In a situation that is happening to America in her prime, she claims to be the only global superpower, the richest nation on earth, the exceptional nation. That is her prime, right? To be that and to be a nation unto yourself amidst nations, you're in your prime, right? And so God took her in her prime, right? I'm just reasoning with you, brothers and sisters. Well, let us look and see what prime means, okay? And we'll understand that a little bit more. All right? The word prime. They don't have it for, there we are, prime, there we are. I'm sorry. The prime, listen to what it says right here. This is the definition. The period in life when a person is best in health, strength, etc. The most active or successful time of a person's life. So, we know that America has been in her prime for the last 30, 40 years. She had no rival militarily, especially after the fall of the Iron Curtain in the 80s. She had no peer or rival economically, right? Currency-wise, everything. So now you see China and Russia and all of these nations getting together and to dump her dollar. As a matter of fact, I was reading an article, comes from what is InfoWars earlier this morning. And this is what it says right here. De-dollarization continues. China, Argentina agree to currency swap. They will trade in yuan, the Chinese currency, instead of dollars. There's another country. You know why? Because America's weighed in yuan on Argentina. Right now, an economic war on Argentina, because Argentina no longer wants to be a part of the dollar system, because Argentina won't bow to American and Western dictates, and she will not give up the Malvinas Islands, called whatever islands in England. But listen, as I said, this is a universal war. This thing is happening on all levels, and you still don't see it. Right? No matter what we're showing you, you are still arguing over some, and all you have to do is be patient, be quiet, and listen. Because this is the end of the dollar. This is the end of America. I want you to listen to this, okay? Pay close attention to this. This is 4 minutes.
So what happens if OPEC and Russia join forces? Nobody talks about that. That's a game changer. Russia is a very rich land. I would not underestimate Russia.
Greetings and thank you for joining us at FutureMoneyTrends.com. I'm here with the legendary stock picker who's very young, But I say legendary because if you look at his track record, it is the best track record, even in the bear market. And I'm so happy to have him on the show today because he has made our subscribers a lot of money with some of the picks and some of the trends he has steered us towards. Maren, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the kind words. Good to hear.
Let's talk about the macro picture, Maren. You've previously talked about Russia and China using their own currencies to do trade, that was kind of an attack or a hit, at least, to the U.S. dollar. And you've talked about the U.S. dollar even possibly experiencing hyperinflation one day. What is the state of the U.S. dollar right now globally? What are you hearing from major insiders like government officials when you visit all across the country looking at different mines and projects?
You know, I call it the dirty secret of all of the governments. U.S. dollar relative to the Canadian dollar has been doing well this year. But the reality is that the Russians, the Chinese, the Indians, they're trying to look at diversifying out of the dollar. If you look at what Saudi Arabia is even doing there, they had long discussions with the Russians on major military contracts. One of the true anchors of the petrodollar, such as Saudi Arabia, flips on America, and it will happen. It's just the question is when. You will see the death of the petrodollar, and I can't emphasize how serious of an issue that's going to be. In my book, The Colder War, we really lay out all of the scenarios of what I think is going to happen with the death of the petrodollar. And that will truly determine, and mark my words, I'm the first guy in the world talking about this, how the petrodollar goes will determine who wins the colder war. And that's the title of my book. And the reason is if America is able to hold on as the reserve currency of the world, they will be able to live to see another day. But if you really see what's going on in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia, the dominance of America is being challenged, not just by Russia, but Asia. And the strength of NATO is not what it was 30 or 40 years ago. And if the petrodollar does die, and the odds are right now that it will, Russia will win the colder war. And why will they win the colder war? Well, let's talk about this. Most of the oil that Europe provides comes from Russia. Most of the natural gas comes from Russia. Most of the uranium comes from Russia. If you look at a country like Germany, for example, they're the strongest EU-28 country. They import more coal right now from Russia than they did 20 years ago. They import more natural gas from Russia today than they did 3, 4, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Europe's becoming more dependent on Russia. And right now, Ukraine, unfortunately, and I feel bad for the Ukrainian people. I've been to Ukraine. It's a beautiful country. People are great. The resources are great. But it's just basically a pond between the Western world, the UK, Germany, US, and the Eastern emerging markets, Russia, China. And right now, who would you say is winning, Dan? Obama or Putin? Without a doubt, it's Putin.
Yeah.
And no one can deny that. He got Crimea. He got back what Khrushchev gave to Ukraine in the late 50s. Putin is a man to watch, and you can make a lot of money in these resources if you're patient and you invest in the right management teams, because during the last 20 years, Russia has doubled their oil production. They have almost half of the world's upgrading processing facilities for uranium. You look at Kazakhstan, they've essentially over doubled their uranium production in the last 10 years. This new alliance, the new Eurasian Union, is a force to be reckoned with. And you have two choices. You can be aware of it and try to profit from it, or you could pretend that America is the sole leader in the world and you don't have to worry about the petrodollar. But I think it's a very unwise choice.
Ha ha! He said it's an unwise choice to hit your wagon to America. Why? He says this Eurasian Union is a force to be reckoned with. Muhammad, what are you talking about? It is the Asiatic nations who are the one laying her low. Didn't Elijah Muhammad tell us that? Huh? Didn't Elijah Muhammad tell us that? If he didn't tell us that, you're welcome to call in and call me a bold-faced liar today, okay? But if he said it, if he told us these things, that they would take her in the prime on the order of God, then you better give in to them. What they said, huh? America was out without rival. But now, in her prime, right? Again, let's go back to that definition. The period in life when a person is best in health, strength, etc. The most active or successful time of a person's life. So Muhammad says that America has enslaved all of the so-called Negroes, and her evil mistreatment of them is similar to that of ancient Babylon's enslavement and mistreatment of the Jews, according to the scriptures. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. Well, we ask Muhammad, well, how did he do it? The next sentence tells us, he brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime, in the height of her glory, the handwriting on the wall. Isn't that what he said? The Eurasian Union, they are now doing bilateral currency swaps. They are trading outside of the dollar. They are forming new kinds of unions outside of the dollar. You notice that America's money just continues to fall? You notice that nations are continuing to unite on the outside of America? In a book there in the Bible, it says that they said, come, let us go up against her noonday. Let us go and take her while she's asleep. This is referring to America. It's the Asiatic nation who are the ones taking her. They're about ready to strike, and the country knows this to be true. I'm not biting my tongue to tell you this. They are ready to strike the nation of America. They're all uniting together against this one to lay hold on her and lay her low. Our God said to me, my greatest desire is to bring this devil, this is what he used, this devil to his knees. We're in the midst of this great cloud, and clouds of war are being made up and are all aimed towards America. I want you to take an interest in saving yourselves. Don't think that America is prepared to keep them from coming in on you. She's not. No, she's not able to ward off this type of enemy that is coming against her. They have united all over Asia. What did that guy say? The Eurasian Union is a force to be reckoned with. He said, now I advise you not to hitch your wagon to America. Didn't he say that? Didn't the guy just say that? And he's one of the top investors, a legendary investor, right? Because he sees the handwriting on the wall, right? Muhammad goes and says, no, she's not able to ward off this type of enemy that is coming against her. They have united all over Asia to focus their guns on America and remove her from the planet Earth. They are not going to give her a chance to live somewhere else, but are going to remove her from the planet Earth. My friends, I'm telling you the truth from the mouth of God and his prophet. America is going. She is going. That's Elijah Muhammad. And you just heard the devil bear witness to her. Yet you still won't run to her. This lecture, this excerpt from this lecture, The Theology of Time, the most prolific lecture ever given in history by any man, according to the white scholars. The most in-depth and prolific lecture ever given, they said, right? On the sciences and philosophies and on math and on history, space, and theology. This lecture is called The Theology of Time, a 22-week lesson from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And you see it fulfilling itself right here. You can't say that we lying because we got the books. We got the clips. We got the news articles. We're proving to you Elijah Muhammad is right and exact. And you better get in lock and step with this man, lest you fall behind to total and utter destruction. You hear me? Brothers and sisters, you don't have to fall for it. Because this is your day. The God in person comes and visits you, gives you the apple of his eye. His last messenger, the Bible calls him the firstborn from the dead. The Christians call him the Son of God. The Bible also calls him the Son of Righteousness. The lily in the valley, the rose of Sharon, the root of Jesse. That's Elijah Muhammad. All you have to do is get with him. Learn of him. Because I promise you, when you learn of him without this biasness, the more you learn of him, the more you will love him. The more you let him, the more you want to learn of him. You become addicted. I got to have my fix of Elijah Muhammad. I'm a righteous junkie. I love this man and his God and his message that he delivered to 68 million of us today. It's a beautiful time for us. Let me say that again. It's a beautiful time for us. But we go back to what I said. The nations are gathering together for the de-dollarization of the world, meaning the collapse of European power and might, because all of Europe has hinged their buckets with America. And the de-dollarization of Asia, Africa, and Latin America means the collapse of Anglo power globally. And this is why America is waging economic war on Argentina. Listen closely.
What lengths will the United States go to force Argentina to pay her debts? Stick around for Buzzsaw.
Listen closely, brothers.
Central Intelligence Agency.
I want you to listen. This is the intro to it. And pay close attention. This will show you how evil America is.
As you know, Argentina declared bankruptcy back in 2001 and has been negotiating its debt payments ever since. What lingers is claims from certain vulture funds here in the United States to basically make Argentina pay 100% of its payments on what is owed, 100% on the dollar of what is owed. And as a result, court cases are pending and potential world situations and conflicts are brewing around this. Joining us now is Dennis Small, who's the Ibero-American editor of Executive Intelligence Review. And Dennis is going to update us on the current situation because there's been a recent ruling in a court case in New York. Why don't you give us some context, first of all, for what the vulture funds are demanding from Argentina and why this is these demands could ultimately drive current world conflicts between our country, between the United States, Argentina, and the overall financial system that Argentina is a part of.
Yeah, sure. The background of this is the fact that the entire financial system of the transatlantic sector, meaning the United States and Europe, is hopelessly bankrupt. You're looking at approximately $2 quadrillion in total financial assets, which have no backing whatsoever in the form of real production. This is what exploded the situation in 2007 and 2008, as we're all familiar. The solution, so-called, provided them then, coming first from the Bush and then from the Obama administrations, have only made the problem worse. And what we now see is a complete blowout of the system. The vulture funds are simply the worst of the worst. They're the tip of the iceberg of a usurious collection apparatus, which is not simply trying to collect 100 cents on the dollar, as you said. That is true. But they're doing this having bought Argentine bonds at about 4 cents on the dollar. They came in when Argentina was in default, when Argentina was in the process of a successful renegotiation of its debt, which it did with about 93% of its creditors at the time. This was in 2005. And it reorganized the debt at about 35 cents on the dollar. 93% of the bondholders went along with the deal. And by all international regulations and precedents until this time, that applies equally to all bondholders, even if they did not like the deal in the first place. The vulture funds, as represented in particular by NML Capital, run by Paul Singer, who is one of the principal bankrollers of the Republican congressional candidates in the United States of America. He's also a key vulture involved in countries in Africa. He's also a key vulture fund runner that is involved in Detroit, Michigan, in the United States as well. So this is not just an Argentine problem. They said, no, we demand 100% of the face value, having paid only 4%. And they went to court to sue for this. And this has then gone on for years and years. The trouble really started in a serious way at the point that District Court Judge Thomas Grisa found in favor of the vulture funds. And that finding was then backed by the Supreme Court of the United States with a decision written by Antonin Scalia, who I think is best scientifically described as an Aristotelian idiot. And both terms apply accurately to his judicial findings. So they backed up this finding, which, as the Argentines have indicated, would mean that the vulture funds would get, over a 5 or 6 year period of so-called financial investment, a return of 1,680%. Now, that's enough to make any self-respecting cancer jealous in terms of what is actually coming as a result of this thing. What has happened, the reason that this thing turned into a crisis, is that Argentina wants to pay the 93% and has paid the 93% who settled over this 9 year period, always on time, completely on course. The recipients, those 93%, want to be paid, but what Grisa and the Aristotelian idiots in the Supreme Court of the United States did is that they prohibited the fiduciary bank involved, which happens to be the Bank of New York, which is the trustee in the case. They prohibited them from transferring the payments which Argentina has made, and just recently, a month or two ago, to the 93% who settled, has refused to allow that money to be paid to the debtors, to the creditors, unless the vulture funds are also paid. So in one sense, as the Argentine government has argued, it is not accurate at all to say that they are trying to make Argentina pay its debt. What the vulture funds are doing is they are preventing Argentina from paying the debt which has been legitimately renegotiated. And what this does, in a word, is it threatens to blow up, to completely put a landmine under every single sovereign debt renegotiation which has occurred on the planet, both in the past, the present, and which is scheduled perhaps for the future, under conditions of a meltdown of the entire transatlantic system. So therefore, you will find many people who are very alarmed about what's happening in Argentina, not just people who would support the government of Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, but a lot of bankers, a lot of people who are very worried that this could just blow up the whole system by the insanity of the current findings of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Well, the very nature of a vulture is that it wants the victim to die so that it can then feed upon it. What is...
Now you can, by listening to that, isn't it ironic that America prevented... Now, they tell everybody that Argentina is in default. But isn't it ironic that Argentina has already deposited the payments to pay America, but the American court has stopped and blocked all payments being transferred through the Bank of New York? And it's ironic that it happens on the back of this right here. Let me read to you. Excuse me. Let me read to you this right here. I'm going to read part of this article to you. Having met on the sidelines in Basel, Switzerland, in July, Argentina and Chinese central banks agreed to a currency swap equivalent to the $11 billion that Cabinet Chief Jorge Capitanich said would be used to stabilize the reserves. Excuse me. Argentina, which defaulted on its debt in July, will receive the first tranche of a multi-billion dollar currency swap operation with China's central bank before the end of this year. The South American country's La Nacion newspaper reported on Sunday. The swap will allow Argentina to boost its foreign reserves or pay for Chinese imports with the yuan currency at a time weak export revenues and an ailing currency have put the Latin American country excuse me, brother, since I'm still fighting this cold excuse me, reserves under intense pressure. La Nacion said Argentina will receive $1 billion worth of yuan by the end of 2014. Let me take a sip, please. He said the first payment of a loan worth a total of $11 billion signed by Argentina President Cristina Fernandez and her Chinese counterpart in July. In addition, Bloomberg reports People's Bank of China Governor Zhu Zhaoqiong expressed his support for Argentina in his legal fight against holdout bondholders. The holdout bondholders is America, right? So this is not only America trying to impose her will on South America. These are the nations rising up against imperialism, and this is a geopolitical swap or fight, and this is a currency and debt fight also. Argentina is trying to free herself of U.S. debt, and so is all of the other Latin nations. And America knows this, so she's trying to strangle them like she tried to do Venezuela. Let's listen to a little bit more, okay?
To give it some context, what is the meaning of vulture funds, and you know what makes them different from, for example, an investment bank or whatnot?
Not very much. The main difference is the extremity of the case. I mean, what vulture funds do is they buy up what they call distressed debt. Now, that's what that means. Distressed debt basically means companies or cities that have gone bankrupt, and they therefore buy up the debt at a few pennies on the dollar, and then they turn around like a mafia collection agency to say, sorry, you owe me 100 cents on the dollar. I mean, these are the kneecappers, like the mafia are kneecappers, of the world financial system. Investment bankers are involved in the same thing, only they're involved at an earlier stage of the process in many cases that do the original speculative lending. And the purpose of this thing, in fact, is, as the president of Argentina has stated clearly, President Fernandez de Kirchner has stated that the intention here is not driven by greed. It's not simply that they want to collect their 1,680%. What it's driven by is a desire to force Argentina to re-indebt itself and to then use that debt as grapple hooks that they have in the country to take control over the economy, over its natural resources, make sure there is no sovereign development, and by force of example, make sure no country in the world dares to break the mafia-like hold that the international financial system now has.
Basically, what they're asking
is, there's so much at stake in this thing.
Right. What they're asking is, you know, they know that Argentina cannot pay 100% or 100% of what's owed. So they're saying, okay, well, if you can't pay it, then give us, for example, access to your mineral resources, right, or some national asset, right? Basically, turn that over to us. To make payments.
In particular, there's the Vaca Muerta large oil shale deposits, which the Argentines have commented is something that these international financial interests are very anxious to get into. I mean, this is Shylock. This is the pound of flesh. It's very straightforward. You know, give me your firstborn, give me a pound of flesh if you can't pay.
This is America's politics, brothers and sisters. And now you see that she is evil beyond your and my imagination. On one hand, she uses her scribes and scribes. I'm talking about her newspapers and her media organizations to paint these people as deadbeats when she is sitting on the greatest debt in history and won't pay it. Right? And then she is going after nations who want to break free from her. But Muhammad told us this. This is what he says. He says this on page 110 of The Fall of America. America wants everyone to help her bemoan all of her setbacks. But when she causes others to fall, breaks up the countries of other peoples, and destroys their independence and freedom, she laughs and prides herself as doing a great thing. She puts her feet upon their economic neck and destroys their independence as a nation. All this now returns to America. The little nations are now awake. They had looked for true friendship from America, but instead America deceived them. Again, I repeat the Bible's prophecy. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. There is no friend for America. Also, it is written in the Bible, in the day of thy fall, none shall help thee. Why? Because you, America, have been and are an aid of the destruction and fall of other peoples. So who should help you in the day of your fall? This is what Allah wants to bring home to America through his prophets. This is what we're looking at. See, I told you the messenger's teachings are universal. Everything that you see and hear, he spoke about. We're gonna let you listen to, I got to play this last clip. It's about 8 minutes. Be patient with me, brothers and sisters, because I do have to reserve time for Brother Minister John to come in. But I have about 20 more clips I would not be able to get a chance to play. I'm sorry, but I'm doing my best to explain them, to show you that the messenger spoke these things and he told us, you just didn't understand it. This is clear. But now you have no cloak, no cover, because the understanding is here. Right? And you see it unfolding right before your very eyes. I want you to listen to the third part of this clip.
The point that the Argentines have made is that by the finding that has come from Griza and the Supreme Court, they would be required not only to pay the vulture funds, all 7% of them, 100% on the renegotiated debt, but by the pari passu clause, which means that you must treat all creditors equally, everybody will then come back and demand the same from Argentina, and that would put them in debt by, $150 billion or something of the sort. Now, this has happened repeatedly. It's happened to the Democratic Republic of Congo. Too small to fight, they caved, and they paid the mafia off. This has happened to, interestingly enough, Detroit, and in fact, to the Obama administration during the period where General Motors was going through bankruptcy, because who should hold control over Delphi, which was one of the principal parts suppliers to General Motors, but Paul Singer of NML Capital, the same vulture fund. And they demanded payoff there, and the Obama administration went along and paid off this extortion, which is what it is. Argentina has stood up, and they've said, no, we are a sovereign nation. We are not going to be destroyed. You're going to leave our country before we're going to allow you to destroy us. And I should tell you, Sean, we're now in a situation where I think Argentina is probably the first country in the entire transatlantic financial sector, which is at the point of breaking out of this dying part of the world system, which is the transatlantic system, and joining an entirely new formation, which has come into being around the BRICS countries, centered especially on the high technology orientation of China, Russia, and so on, and India as well. Now, this happened in particular at the BRICS meeting, which you may be familiar with, which was held in Brazil on July 15th and 16th, which
it was almost coincidental with the World Cup.
Things went a little better for Brazil at the BRICS meeting than at the World Cup. But since the World Cup is really just a big fantasy moneymaker and not all that important in the real world, and the BRICS meeting is, I think Brazil did right by it. And what happened at the BRICS meeting is that they established what they called a new development bank, which has been capitalized already to $50 billion and may go up to $100 billion. And its intention is to loan money for the purposes of high technology development projects, of which there are a few already on the books and have started working, like Transcontinental Railroad across South America, like an interoceanic canal across Nicaragua. There are related developments with the building of a new Suez Canal, which is being built by the Egyptian government, and to do that as an actual alternative to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The driving concept behind this, even beyond the BRICS and the New Development Bank, is what China has done, playing a leading role with the idea of shifting the entire energy platform of humanity as a whole out of, for sure, the hydrocarbon era, and even out of nuclear fission plants to the next stage, which is fusion power. And in particular, which, by the way, is being tested and in development and is being moved forward on, not in the United States anymore. We're too busy paying banks rather than science, but certainly in Korea, in China, in India, and Russia. But the Chinese are involved with a feature of this which is really important, which is that the best fuel for a fusion reactor is actually helium-3, which is a helium isotope, which is available principally on the moon. So what the Chinese are doing is that they've geared their entire moon space project towards exploring and then exploiting, in terms of mining, the moon for helium-3, very small amounts of which can produce prodigious amounts of energy. So it's a broader topic than what we're discussing here, I realize, but I think this is a backdrop in terms of the new paradigm which is coming into existence, which Argentina is linking into, and therefore telling the vulture funds, gentlemen, go to hell, which is where you came from.
But at what length will they go to tell them to go to hell? Will they actually go as far as defaulting on their debt payments?
They are trying to pay. They have actually taken the latest $530 million payment that was due on June 30th, and they deposited that money, as is appropriate, in the bank account of the trustee bank, which is Bank of New York, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with instructions, as they have done every payment time, to please forward the payment to the bondholders on the restructured debt. it has been the Supreme Court of the United States and GRISA who have intervened to prevent Argentina from paying, and they are the ones who are trying to drive Argentina into default. The threat is if you default, you won't have access to the international financial system. And Argentina's response is, excuse me?
No, I'm saying, but at that point then, if they were to be forced into default, Argentina would now have the opportunity of going to, for example, to the BRIC alliance and leaving this overall international, the Atlantic financial structure.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. But that's what they're already doing, because they're saying, well, we get no benefit whatsoever from the international financial system. We're not getting any credit as it is. There's no loans available. The only thing is it's a vacuum cleaner that sucks the wealth out of countries. We have no benefit from this whatsoever. To hell with you guys. So they're not scared by the boogeyman of default at this point. That's what was held over other countries with the implicit military threat, as you were indicating in your earlier question. But what you got to do is you really have to, if you want to understand how the Argentines are thinking about this, look at the world that the vultures are part of. And I'd like to show your viewers the first graphic, which I prepared on this thing, just a couple of things to give an idea on this. This is of total world financial aggregates. Now, this shows the, as the title indicates, all financial aggregates as best we could calculate, which includes all the stock markets of the world, all of the debt of the world, public and private, individual and government, and all of the financial derivatives, which, as you can see, is the lion's share. It's about 90% of the total. Now, those total financial aggregates globally today, as you can see in the graph, are bursting through the level of $2 quadrillion. Now, this is a bubble that began, as you can see on the graph, with a vertical line at 1999. It really got going with the revocation of the Glass-Steagall bill in the United States, which was a bill that separated commercial productive banking on the one hand from investment or speculative or vulture banking on the other hand. And it did not allow them. This goes back to 1933 and President Franklin Roosevelt. That was removed from the books of the United States in 1999, and you can see what happened. This cancer simply took off. In 2007, you have this little dip when the financial situation blew out completely. What should have happened is that whole derivatives bubble should have been written off, simply written off. It's totally speculative, cancerous debt, which has been paid many times over and needs not be covered if it means killing off populations. That's not what happened. It more or less stabilized until about 18 months ago when it took off like a rocket again, as you can see in this graph. And total world derivatives are today growing at an annual rate of about 22% to 24%. Now, the physical economy is not growing at 22% or 24%. It's collapsing. So you have a system that's trying to maintain this cancerous speculative bubble with the vultures trying to ride the crest of it against a collapsing physical economy, which means massive unemployment in the United States. It means 60% youth unemployment in Greece and Spain. It means death and devastation in Africa, like with this Ebola crisis that's going on. It means all of those kinds of things. So the vultures don't exactly have much of a calling card when they go to a country and say, join our world. Their world is one of bankruptcy and devastation.
Indeed. And as you know, as your graphs are showing, that the notion of all this derivatives money, I mean, for most people, they don't have any conception of what derivatives are. So then they're thinking, oh, there's all this money now in the world. There's actually so much money that's floating around. And yet that's not what you're indicating.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of money floating around. There's just no real physical production. Money is money. Money has no intrinsic value whatsoever.
You
previously used to create money by running the printing machine. Now you create it with a digital blip on a computer. It's just fabricated out of thin air.
Well, exactly.
Now, you hear this guy, he talks about this system. He calls the system the Anglo or the transatlantic system, which is America, Europe, which has imposed on the entire world. He calls it a cancerous system that sucks everything out of other nations, right? Then he says that this system is a system of bankruptcy, death, and devastation. That's what he says, right? And he brought up a peculiar date here. He says, 1933, the Glass-Steagall, he's talking about 33-34, when they introduced it, that act. Well, what's peculiar about that? 33-34 is when Messenger Muhammad was missioned to go to teach the world, right? Right? Come on, talk back to me today, brothers and sisters. How can all of these mathematical equations be just by chance, just by circumstance, just on a whim? It's time now that you start using your sense. You know, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. To reason means you must use your faculties to come to an educated conclusion. We go back again before I bring Brother Minister John in about prime. Remember, God makes those nations take America in her prime. The period in life when a person is best in health, strength, etc. The most active or successful time of a person's life. That dude said, we're looking at a new paradigm. New paradigm. What is paradigm? A model or pattern for something that may be copied. A theory or a group of ideas about how something should be done, made, or thought about. Especially an outstanding, clear, or typical example or archetype. An example of a conjugation or declension show a word in all of its inflection form. There we go with that inflection there. Right? A philosophical and theoretical framework of a scientific school or discipline within which theories, laws, and generalizations and the experiments performed in support of them are formulated. Huh? A philosophical or theoretical framework of any kind. So we're moving from one paradigm to another one. The old paradigm, as he said, is that of debt, devastation, and bankruptcy. There's a new paradigm on the scene of freedom, justice, and equality under that star and crescent led by God and his messenger. Now, with that said, let me bring in Brother Minister John Muhammad. Brother, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God who came to us in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. We forever thank Allah, and thank Allah for coming, raising up among you and I our beloved leader, teaching guide, the most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. Well, my beloved brothers and sisters, today you have heard the devil. You have heard the devil bearing witness to the truth that God had revealed through his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You have heard it from the mouth of the devil. And my beloved brothers and sisters, we are living at the end of this world, the end of the wicked world, the end of the white man's world, the end of the devil's world, the end of our bliss, the end of Satan, his world. We're living at the end. And you've heard the white man said that. So I'm going to say a few words on this. But my beloved brothers and sisters, today we are among the so-called American Negro. There are a lot of vipers. There are a lot of poisonous snakes. There are a lot of people who, in character, are snakes among our people. They are there not to help them to grow and develop into what God has revealed that they are, but they are there to try and help the devil to keep us divided, to keep us separated. So today, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us in every walk of life there's all kinds of things, even in the government, in churches, in synagogues, you'll find these in character. You'll find some of them are poisonous snakes, some of them are not. But nevertheless, they have forked tongues. They never come straight. They always come crooked. They leave from you crooked. They crawl away from you crooked. They talk crooked. They act crooked. They never want to wear the uniformity, mind, that God has revealed. God Almighty in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, a universal or a unity mind of one. But there are those who deviated and tried to come on in a different way. Each snake come from his or her own house. They come out their home looking pretty, acting pretty, but in their hearts is venom and their way of thinking and their way of doing things. And they bite your mind, they bite your heart, so you become confused. You become paralyzed by what they say to you. So then you begin to believe in their theology and their thoughts and their ideas. And pretty soon you will become corrupt, almost 100% against truth and righteousness. You would rather walk in the way of that venom that they placed in your mind, placed in your heart. And you lack that because they come crooked. They're never straight. They say one word that's good, and your heart being good, your heart feels good. Oh, this is the one. This is, oh, they're good. They're good. But stay around them long enough, and you will see, as the Indians stayed around the white man long enough, he found out that they was not there to hold the Indians at a high esteem, but they were there to destroy the Indians. And likewise, the white man today, after truth come, after God raised up the messenger, after the messenger began to teach us knowledge and wisdom, no one dispute before the coming and before knowledge was departed to them. And now each one come out of their own little hole, looking to be this or that, spewing into you, breathing into you their inspiration of their thoughts and ideas. Not the thoughts and ideas of the messenger, because each one, when you hear them talk, they want to take the place of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there is no place for them but hell. There is no place for them but to be disgraced among the people. There is no place for them. If the only thing that they can do today is to say, I've been unjust to myself, and I've been a fool all of my life, and I have been a secret hypocrite. I have been a secret one. I have been a snake. Crawl up. I have been a snake trying to be good. But in my heart, God forced me to come out and show my self. God is forcing me to show myself. So I must bite your mind. I must bite your heart so that you would not be following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad 100% or 50% or 40%. But I will bite you and have you follow my dictate, my theology, my way, and what I believe as an individual. But I say to you this day, my beloved brothers and sisters, as a white man, have warned you that this world is going. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us years ago. And now, what do you see as you sit in your home, lay in your bed? You see water running down in the desert, in the houses, washing up rattlesnakes. You see water running in your house, in a place where they gamble a lot, in Vegas. Water running rampant. I say to you, that water, not water this time, but fire next time. But water and fire running side by side. Fire in California started not by men, but started by the hand of God with lightning up in the sky, starting forest fires, starting the fires to burn. I say, brother, and I say, my sister, fighting in Europe, fighting in the Balkan states, fighting in Africa, fighting in the Middle East, fighting in Arabia, fighting in Israel, fighting among the Palestinians, fighting all over the planet Earth. They are fighting and confusion. And this vicious snake, this serpent, demon, this Satan, as the message says, he can be white as snow or black as the ace of spades. This serpent, this Satan, he's there today, coming out of his hole. They are snakes. Look at them. Look in their eyes. Look what you see, cunning, conniving, scheming, never to lead you on the straight path, but they are there to lead you on the crooked path. And they use a good man's name to shield their dirty religion. Their dirty religion is what they tell you and the messengers say, and the messengers say, but they are deceivers. They are crooked. They are forked-tongued. They are never to teach you right. They are never to lead you right. But they want you to lead, to follow them, to give them a little bread, to give them a little water, to look up to them, to call them your apostle, to call them your their messenger. But you ain't but one whom God raised as a messenger, ain't but one whom God raised as an apostle, and that is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't be scared. Don't be bitten by these slick talkers. Don't be bitten by these people who have learned how to creep up to you, learn how to soothe you, learn how to bring you up so that you can then ease into them and breathe into them your nasty, your poisonous venom, that it will destroy you. America is going out. There is no torchlight, and there is no help. Care how slick they are or how cunning they are. They are just words blowing in the air. They are just bricks without mortar. Those of you who are sitting up in there, you are bricks without mortar. You don't love each other as you sit up in those places. You're not loving each other. You're divided among yourself in there. Look at you when you leave your meeting place. One in a car, two in a car, the rest of them catching buses, the rest of them waiting for a bus, the rest of them walking home. You don't even think enough of your brother or sister to, sister, I'll give you a ride. But where is your love for those whom you see every day? But you say you love Allah. But you say you love Allah. You say you love God. But you've never seen Allah. But you see your brother every day. How can you say you love God and you hate your brother and sister that you see every day? You're a liar. You're other than the truth. You are a great deceiver. And you don't help. You don't try because you know you are not part of that one whom God came to search for. And now today, with all these snakes coming out of their hole, biting at the black man, biting at the black woman, and you are sitting up and silly enough and foolish enough, and truth is all around you, and you hear truth, and you know it's out here. And my beloved brothers and sisters, the white man have told you enough today that make a Negro turn white. And you're already white, but it's enough to make a Negro turn black. And you should turn black in a black mind, in a black skin, in a black body. The white man have told you and I the truth this day, as I turn it back in the hands of Brother Minister Rashid Muhammad, as I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And it's two things before we go off the air. I want to follow Brother Minister John up with a 41-second clip about messengers, because I hear a lot of people on the air, and I hear a lot, I read a lot of times when people are referring to students of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the Holy Apostle and as the messenger of Allah. And this is that venom that has poisoned their mind. See, the hypocrites and the disbelievers were working together, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. They weren't separate. They were working together to kill your mind, to kill your spirit, to kill your progress and growth as a nation and as a follower of God's Lamb. So, if you believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the truth, and you believe that he is the messenger, and you believe his teachings, then believe these words coming out of his mouth right here.
Of judgment in which you were warned by Elijah Muhammad. This is the thing that will come upon you now soon. And not another messenger coming up to teach you anything. There is nothing of God that I am not teaching you that another messenger could come and teach. The whole civilized world, the whole entire nation of righteous, the whole nation of scholars and scientists of religion knows that I am teaching you of the truth of.
Now, if the whole world of scholars know that Elijah Muhammad is teaching you the truth, And he said, there is nothing that I am not teaching you that another messenger can come up and teach you. There's no need for one. This is what he said. So if the whole world of scholars know this to be true and somebody else is teaching you otherwise, they're teaching you a lie. This is common sense, right? You can't say that you follow the messenger and ignore what the messenger says because you are in love with a personality. This is not how it works. The Quran says we say that we only hear and we obey. We believe in what the messenger says, right? And we follow his example and his teachings. And through that following of his example and his teachings, we are made into the body of Christ. And we become new creatures because we follow Almighty God and his messenger. You understand? All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, you heard what this devil has been telling you, that his word's going out. And as the message to the black man teaches us, the fall of America is now visible and understandable, not only in the eyes of scholars and scientists, but even in the eyes of and understanding of the ignorant. Long has Allah been gradually removing the power of the great and mighty America, while few have noticed it. This has been done by degrees, and they do not perceive it. Stop right there. How? They go back to 1914. They say, this was the end of the dollar. We thought it was the end of the world. It was. They put in the Federal Reserve, 1930. Then they talk about 1930, right, being a great time of tribulation. Then 1933 and 1934, and the exactions of the Glass-Steagall Act. Then they talk about 1965 and 66, as the silver was siphoned off of the currency. They talked about 68 through 71. When the gold world went off the gold and silver standard. And they're telling you today that all of this that you see today is a repercussion of what they did yesteryear. Right? What did Muhammad say? Long has Allah been gradually removing the power of the great and mighty America, while few have noticed it. This has been done by degrees, and they do not perceive it. The Holy Quran says he brings powerful nations to a naught. And when it is discovered, it is like a growth of cancer that has been eating at the body for many years while the patient was unaware of it. Today, it is visibly understood that the fall of America cannot be checked. Why, Muhammad? For the foundation has been removed. What foundation? The dollar, the silver, the gold, the industry, the manufacturing. It had been removed by degrees and you did not perceive it. And as that man said, as he was talking, the system of the West is a cancerous system. The transatlantic system is a cancerous system. And Muhammad says, the Holy Quran says, he brings powerful nations to naught. And when it is discovered, it is like a growth of cancer that has been eating at the body for many years while the patient was unaware of it. If you don't get truth right from this stuff, I don't know what to tell you. But we're going to keep it humping and keep it pumping for the next show as we go out and invoke the God and his messenger's name. With love to you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy.